The largest Church of the Shrike in the web was on Lussis, and Saul Farcast there a few weeks before Rachel's 10th birthday. The building itself was not much larger than an old earth cathedral, but it seemed gigantic, with its effect of flying buttresses in search of a church, twisted upper stories, and support walls of stained glass. Saul's mood was low, and the brutal Lussian gravity did nothing to lighten it. Despite his appointment with the bishop, Saul had to wait more than 5 hours before he was allowed into the inner sanctum. He spent most of the time staring at the slowly rotating 20-meter steel and polychrome sculpture, which might have been of the legendary Shrike, and might have been an abstract homage to every edged weapon ever invented. What interested Saul the most were the two red orbs floating within the nightmare space, which might have been a skull. "M. Weintraub?" "Your Excellency," said Saul. He noticed that the acolytes, exorcists, lectors, and ostiaries who had kept him company during the long wait had prostrated themselves on the dark tiles at the high priest's entry. Saul managed a formal bow. "Please, please do come in, M. Weintraub," said the priest. He indicated the doorway to the Shrike sanctuary with a sweep of his robed arm. Saul passed through, found himself in a dark and echoing place not too dissimilar from the setting of his recurring dream, and took a seat where the bishop indicated. As the cleric moved to his own place at what looked like a small throne behind an intricately carved but thoroughly modern desk, Saul noticed that the high priest was a native Lussian, gaunt of fat and heavy in the jowls, but formidable in the way all Lussis residents seemed to be. His robe was striking in its redness, a bright arterial red, flowing more like a contained liquid than like silk or velvet, trimmed in onyx ermine. The bishop wore a large ring on each finger, and they alternated red and black, producing a disturbing effect in Saul. "Your Excellency," began Saul, "I apologize in advance for any breach in church protocol which I have committed, or may commit. I confess I know little about the Church of the Shrike, but what I do know has brought me here. Please forgive me if I inadvertently display my ignorance by my clumsy use of titles or terms." The bishop wiggled his fingers at Saul. Red and black stones flashed in the weak light. "Titles are unimportant, M. Weintraub. Addressing us as Your Excellency is quite acceptable for a non-believer. We must advise you, however, that the formal name of our modest group is the Church of the Final Atonement, and the entity whom the world so blithely calls the Shrike, we refer to, if we take his name at all, as the Lord of Pain, or more commonly, the Avatar. Please proceed with the important query you said you had for us." Saul bowed slightly. "Your Excellency, I am a teacher. Excuse us for interrupting, M. Weintraub, but you are much more than a teacher. You are a scholar. We are very familiar with your writings on moral hermeneutics. The reasoning therein is flawed, but quite challenging. We use it regularly in our courses in doctrinal apologetics. Please proceed." Saul blinked. His work was almost unknown outside the most rarefied academic circles, and this recognition had thrown him. In the 5 seconds it took him to recover, Saul found it preferable to believe that the Shrike bishop wanted to know with whom he spoke and had an excellent staff. "Your Excellency, my background is immaterial. I asked to see you because my child, my daughter, has taken ill as a possible result of research she was carrying out in an area which is of some importance to your church. I speak, of course, of the so-called time tombs on the world of Hyperion." The bishop nodded slowly. Saul wondered if he knew about Rachel. "You are aware, M. Weintraub, that the area you referred to, what we call the Covenant Arcs, have recently been declared off-limits to so-called researchers by the Home Rule Council of Hyperion." Yes, Your Excellency, I have heard that. I understand that your church was instrumental in that legislation being passed. The bishop showed no response to this. Far off in the incense-layered gloom, small chimes sounded. At any rate, Your Excellency, I hoped that some aspect of your church's doctrine might shed light on my daughter's illness. The bishop inclined his head forward so that the single shaft of light which illuminated him gleamed on his forehead and cast his eyes into shadow. "Do you wish to receive religious instruction in the mysteries of the church, M. Weintraub?" Saul touched his beard with a finger. "No, Your Excellency, unless in doing so I might improve the well-being of my daughter." "And does your daughter wish to be initiated into the Church of the Final Atonement?" Saul hesitated a beat. "Again, Your Excellency, she wishes to be well. If joining the Church would heal or help her, it would be a very serious consideration." The bishop sat back in a rustle of robes. Redness seemed to flow from him into the gloom. "You speak of physical well-being, M. Weintraub. Our church is the final arbiter of spiritual salvation. Are you aware that the former invariably flows from the latter?" "I am aware that this is an old and widely respected proposition," said Saul. "The total well-being of our daughter is the concern of my wife and myself." The bishop rested his massive head on his fist. "What is the nature of your daughter's illness, M. Weintraub?"
"It is a time-related illness, Your Excellency."
The bishop sat forward, suddenly tense.
"And at which of the holy sites did you say your daughter contracted this malady, M. Weintraub?"
"The artifact called the Sphinx, Your Excellency." The bishop stood so quickly that papers on his desktop were knocked to the floor. Even without the robes, the man would have massed twice Saul's weight. In the fluttering red robes, stretched to his full height, the Shrike priest now towered over Saul like crimson death incarnate. "You can go," bellowed the big man. "Your daughter is the most blessed and cursed of individuals. There is nothing that you or the church, or any agent in this life, can do for her."
Saul stood, or rather sat his ground.
"Your Excellency, if there is any possibility—"
"No,"
cried the bishop, red in the face now, a consummately consistent apparition. He tapped at his desk. Exorcists and lectors appeared in the doorway, their black robes with red trim an ominous echo of the bishop. The all-black ostiaries blended with the shadows. "The audience is at an end," said the bishop, with less volume but infinite finality. "Your daughter has been chosen by the Avatar to atone in a way which all sinners and non-believers must someday suffer. Someday, very soon."
"Your Excellency, if I can have just 5 minutes more of your time."
The bishop snapped his fingers, and the exorcists came forward to escort Saul out. The men were Lussian. One of them could have handled 5 scholars Saul's size.
"Your Excellency!"
cried Saul, after he had shrugged off the first man's hands. The 3 other exorcists came to assist with the equally brawny lectors hovering nearby. The bishop had turned his back and seemed to be staring into the darkness. The outer sanctuary echoed to grunts and the scraping of Saul's heels, and to at least 1 loud gasp as Saul's foot made contact with the least priestly parts of the lead exorcist. The outcome of the debate was not affected. Saul landed in the street. The last ostiary to turn away tossed Saul's battered hat to him. 10 more days on Lussus achieved nothing but more gravity fatigue for Saul. The temple bureaucracy would not answer his calls. The courts could offer him no wedge. The exorcists waited just within the doors of the vestibule. Saul Farcast to New Earth and Renaissance Vector, to Fuji and TC Squared, to Deneb Dry and Deneb Fear, but everywhere the Shrike temples were closed to him. Exhausted, frustrated, out of money,
Saul cast home to Barnard's World, got the EMV out of the long-term lot, and arrived home an hour before Rachel's birthday. "Did you bring me anything, Daddy?" asked the excited 10-year-old. Saray had told her that day that Saul had been gone. Saul brought out the wrapped package. It was the collected Anne of Green Gables series. It was not what he had wanted to bring her.
"Can I open it?"
"Later, little one, with the other things."
"Oh, please, Dad, just one thing now, before Nikki and the other kids get here."
Saul caught Saray's eye. She shook her head. Rachel remembered inviting Nikki and Lina and her other friends to the party only days before. Saray had not yet come up with an excuse.
"All right, Rachel," he said. "Just this one before the party."
While Rachel ripped into the small package, Saul saw the giant package in the living room, secured with red ribbon. The new bike, of course. Rachel had asked for the new bike for a year before her 10th birthday. Saul tiredly wondered if she would be surprised tomorrow to find the new bike here the day before her 10th birthday. Or perhaps they would get rid of the bike that night while Rachel slept. Saul collapsed onto the couch. The red ribbon reminded him of the bishop's robes.